Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Today's episode, we have a special guest joining us. Katie Rose is a dear friend of mine. She came to talk about her story of learning how to lead well. And she shared her story about, as a leader, some struggles that she went through that maybe she learned that she wasn't leading as well as she could. Can you relate to that?
I've experienced bad leadership, but in this episode, I think it's really good, even for people who think that they may not be a leader or have ever been a leader. This shows that really everyone has the opportunity to lead and to lead well.
That's great. And I love that you point that out too, because I come from the interview, I came from the point of, okay, I am a leader. Like, I'm leading a team, you know, like our team here at Killer Bee Marketing. And a lot of those times I struggled with things. Am I leading well? That question for myself. So with that, let's go ahead and start this episode. Katie, thanks for joining us. I know a lot of people here might not know who you are. So would you mind, for just about 30 seconds, tell us a little bit about who Katie Rose is?
Yeah. I started in radio really young. At like 12, no one asked how old I was. Wow. I really should check references. and then, you know, I ended up stepping out of radio and, believe it or not, started a coffee shop with some friends. And in radio, we had to endorse a bunch of nonprofits. And so I loved the idea of, if I wanted to do mission work, to run my own business and financially support my own mission works. And so our coffee houses were nonprofit. Everything above operating costs went to water projects. Wow. And some of it, I'm surprised they let me run a business. My job previous was radio. I talked to myself for a living. That person should not be in charge of financial decisions. But I loved it. Like, I learned so much in that season, and I'm now back in radio doing consulting, but I'm really grateful for the coffee shop time and how much that taught me and grew me, and I think a lot of who I am came out of that season.
So how long did you work at the actual coffee shop?
Yeah, you know what, almost a little over 8 years. When COVID hit, we had to shut down for a little bit. And it was actually a really cool thing because we were next door to a grocery store. And at that point I was doing operations for all of them, but I was managing one of our locations. And there was a grocery store next door, and we sort of worked it out where my staff would work there and I would work at their location closer to my house. And so when we had to shut down for COVID, it was sort of nice. No one got cut. And they were just sort of able to move to something else until we were able to reopen.
Nice. Yeah. That's good. When you say staff, like how many people were on your staff at the coffee shop?
Two different ones. If I was saying like, oh, I did operations for all of our locations, at some points we had 8 locations. So you're talking a little under 200 people, but managing like one location, like 10. And it was different than I thought. I just figure I'm diving into the leadership stuff.
I was going to say, like, that's your time of having a team. Like, is this the first time you were actually in a leadership position, like really over a team like that?
No, but it was different. I think for radio, it's really easy to say that you love people because it's in theory. You can't see them. Like, every now and then you have nasty emails, but it doesn't. It's people kind of general idea versus the coffee shop was people, that one person standing in front of you that's messy and doesn't do what you want, or like, just, it was a different thing. And I think my personality typically wants to make things happen. The fastest way from point A to point B is a straight line. And I'm typically really logical and not very emotional. And it was the first time I had to realize that leadership wasn't about intensity. It was about consistency. And if I wanted my staff to cover their friends when they were sick, it wasn't going to be, or make sure they did all their task lists as far as making sure things are clean. They weren't going to make sure the shop was clean because their boss asked them to. They did it because we had a barbecue and we did movie nights and game nights. And if they didn't do their tasks, they were sort of screwing over their friend that had the next shift. And so it wasn't this direct line of pushing people to do what you wanted. It was about how do you build a culture and how do you love people really well? And it got the result you wanted better, but it wasn't a straight line.
Gotcha. So when we were talking about, when you and me were talking about you coming down and joining us and talking about leadership, I thought this was a great topic for us to discuss in Horizons, because there are a lot of world creators that are building things. Like, you know, we have Warfeather here that actually has a world built now for veterans and stuff. And they're having different shows and people are starting to build, you know, teams. Like we have Warfeather's helping off moderation Steel Knight. And we also have, you know, Bobby G up there running all the wah-wahs and soundboards and working with trainers and getting people trained up to help. And what I saw was there's a lot happening in Horizons here where people are stepping into a leadership role. And when you said, you know, part of your story about learning that at one time you learned that you weren't leading as well as you thought you were, the way you're used to wasn't working. I really wanted to see if you could share some more insight, like what brought it to your attention that something had to change in yourself and the way you led, because it might be helpful to other people that's in here that's just stepping into leadership and maybe not even realizing that's what they're doing. Like Meta Olivia, you know, she said she doesn't really lead, but she's a boss. So can you talk about that?
I have always looked at leadership like parenting. And it was sort of funny when we had 8 locations, each location of the coffee shop really looked like that manager. And whatever that person valued is what their staff started to value. And so if they valued being really like coffee forward and latte art and like the really like spiffy baristas that were like over, you know, the one, their staff would become that. If they really valued the place being clean, like whatever they stacked as what they valued is what their staff would start to value. And so I used to tell my staff, there's things they're going to have to deal with because it's my personality and quirks. So things like, I am super OCD, so they're going to have to do more tasks in cleaning our location because that is what I value. That they're just going to have to put up with. But if there's things that are actual character flaws in me and they're paying the cost, that's a me problem. So if I don't handle conflict well, and so the culture of my location starts to turn, they're paying the cost of my character flaw. And so I think for me, it was just being aware that leadership was, it's almost like when you live by yourself, if there's dishes in the sink, they're yours. And like realizing like, okay, if there's a problem, most likely it's a character inside of me being exponentially shown in the way that I'm developing a culture. And it's almost like a relationship. It's a big giant mirror that goes in front of you and just being aware of like, hey, most likely it's a me thing and I'm going to check there first.
That's good. That's good.
Do you feel like you've had some like leaders in the past that kind of shaped how you have said, if I ever get in a leadership role, I want to make sure I do this and I want to make sure I don't do this? Do you feel like some of that came into play as your leadership role, or was it just like, I'm starting from a blank slate?
There is a book by Gene Edwards and it's like 100 pages. If you listen to it on audiobook, it's like just slightly over an hour. And the whole book, the like first half of it was looking at like the Bible, where David was under a king that hated him. And this king used to like throw spears at him. And it was saying how much he would be justified to take those spears back and out of protection of himself, throw them back. But it was saying that him being under bad leadership taught him how to be a good leader. The second half of the book is like, when you're in leadership, how do you judge if you're a good leader? But I think no matter what leadership you're under, it teaches you something. Yeah, I think even absolutely. Who you are under other leaders tells you what leader you're going to be. When I would have baristas want to manage, you know, they know that we've had we went from 1 to 8 locations within 2 years. So the growth of our company was really fast. And so there was a lot of opportunity for, hey, you like social media? Great. You're in charge of that now. Like people being promoted quickly because we needed people to be involved. But the first thing I would do is if someone said they wanted to be a part of that growth, I would go to the people they work with and I go, do they do the dishes before they leave? And if the answer was no, I would go back and say, hey, you're not ready yet. And we'd have that conversation. But if you don't do the things you don't want to do when you're required to do them, you're not going to do servant leading when no one requires you to do the dumb, gross. No one wants to do that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think there was a balance between I did take things from all sorts of leaders. And for me, though, I think me being a really logical person and non-emotional, some of it was also me just learning really how to care. It didn't matter what position, like the company I'm in now has 3 owners. I'm not in leadership. I still do director of operations, but it's not the same. It's not my company or some of that stuff. I don't think it matters what position. And in fact, if you're relying on positional leadership, to me, it's the cheapest form of leadership. When I've seen people be like, well, I'm the boss. You're like, great. That's the leg you're going to stand on. Like, that's what you got.
Yeah.
Versus the people that built a culture, gained respect. And I think when I was doing operations, I had a hard time because I'm such a numbers person and I'm cheap that it's really easy to look at a spreadsheet and you think, well, we could make cuts here. We could do this here. And you don't know the culture that's it's building, or, you know, sometimes it's like paying your employees more gives better customer service and better business. Like there's different things in business theory, but for me to have a location and these are people that I love as people, whether they're my employees or not, like I still text these people for their birthday. I still like, I'm still involved in their lives because the leadership and the commitment I've made to them was beyond their employment. So when I stepped out, well, we actually had problems with them trying to like walk out because they knew like their commitment was to me and not the company, but it was because they saw the commitment I had to them.
I think that's a really good point too. Cause like when you just were talking too about knowing their birthdays and stuff like that, I can tell you, well, everybody already knows like I'm terrible at names. Like that's one thing. Right. And another thing is, You know, Meta Olivia is on our team at Killer Bee Marketing. So she's part of our team. So I'm the boss that's saying, hey, I'm your boss. Look, I got the title. That's the approach I take. So thanks, Katie. Now I have to go check myself. No, but with our team, you know, our team works remote. You've worked with some of our team and they're all over the place. And one of the things I struggle with is keeping up with those kind of things because I know it's important, but I'm in meetings all the time and connecting, but also trying to make sure I stay connected with the team that's working remotely. Anybody that's working with people in here, you've got people from all around the world probably you're working with. So my wife is amazing at hospitality. She's great at, she wants to send gifts out. Usually I have to tell her like, nah, that you gotta watch the budget here. You know, she's all about that, you know, but I'm like, you know what? Why don't you do that? Because it's something that you're really passionate about and you're good at. Instead of me trying to do that, find the people on your team that can help do that and let them, you know, they're passionate about, let them really just flourish in that area. Is there anything that you had to learn as a leader that you had to kind of let go of? And if there was something, if you're open, would you mind to share it? And what was it like for you to learn how to let go of something?
One of the hardest things at the beginning for me is I don't do confrontation. I used to not do a confrontation, actually. But I also realized it was easier for me to right off the bat set expectations and communicate really clearly because at that point, most of the time I didn't have to do correction later.
That's good.
And so I would even tell, because barista stuff, it is very precise. And so there's things where it's like, I would spend a lot of time with that person. I'm like, I know this is annoying, but like, I want you to be able to, and I would communicate in that path of what they were learning. So there were even times where I was like, hey, I know a barista can do $75 worth of coffee in an hour. So I'm going to let you flail so that you can get faster. Like, so I let them know, like, hey, I know you're panicking right now. I'm right back here. And if I see you hit that point, I'll jump in, but I'm doing this to make you stronger. So I think a mix of like really training them in the beginning and communicating in that path, then really I didn't have to do correction in the same way at the end. Yeah. I also paid the cost of that sometimes, because we had a staff member who was just that like super negative, gossipy kind of person. And I underestimated the cancer that was. And when they ended up quitting and everyone just sort of exhaled and the culture changed, it actually made me a lot more swift on that specifically. Like, there's some things where like, there's times I should have canned people. I should have whatever. And it's like, no, I'm going to walk through the trenches with you until we really know this isn't going to work. And at that point, we've come to this as a group decision kind of thing. But that was the one thing that I was like, hey, I don't have leniency here because I'm not going to risk everyone else for this. But it took me a while with that confrontation stuff to balance and put that in a healthy spot.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out our links in the show notes, where you can join our private Discord community and find more fantastic resources and affiliate links. It's all just a click away.
I think that, I mean, you touched on the being very clear about what you're what you're looking for, right? What they're doing, what they're supposed to do. I know for myself as a leader, that's something that I've had to learn too, is the importance. Like, I mean, giving clear direction is so crucial. And I know, as you shared about being under bad leadership, I've been under bad leadership, and I found myself there going, what the heck? Why am I here? Why do I have to do this? But ultimately it was God preparing me for the time where he actually put me in leadership to say, this is what you don't want to do, because you know what this is like and what this feels like and why it's important to treat your team differently than this.
And I think it trained me in those times. I had a very bad leader who would openly say, like, I believe that yelling at your staff is most productive because you only have to do it once because everyone else sees it. Like, they had chose this is how they do things. And I remember shutting myself in a room and being like, all right, I'm not leaving here till I have an attitude change. And like, I come from a place of faith. And so that was a thing where I really felt like I just struggled with God in that moment of like, hey, I need to see how you see this person because I only see the bad. And it trained me a lot. Like, even not just like, hey, I'm never going to lead that way, because I knew I didn't want to lead that way. I thought that was really stupid way. Like, I thought general public knew that was a horrible way to lead. But what it trained me for was to be able to get my attitude in line and to, even in that, be able to see someone where I'm going, wow, like the insecurity this person's carrying affects his job. Yes, but it affects his marriage. It affects his friendships. And then all of a sudden I just felt going, man, me being pissed off is the smallest weight or the smallest consequence of this baggage he's carrying. Yeah. And this isn't a me thing. This is a him thing. But like, even being under bad leadership trained me on how to get my heart and attitude in a better right place.
That's good. And it's, I think it's an important thing to remember too, is like to remember that people that we're working with, whether it be at your workplace, maybe you're not in a leadership role, but you work with a team. The people that come in, or even in here in Horizons, the people that we meet in here, there's people that's carrying baggage that we don't know about. So I think it's good to give some grace and kind of understand we don't see everything that's happening. I want to talk about something else here with you, Katie, about leadership. For myself, something that I've been having to learn is, as leaders, as we lead as leaders, sometimes we don't always have the complete picture what's down the road, right? I mean, we as mm-hmm. leaders, it's a lot of responsibility to carry on your shoulders. To you have a team that you're taking care of, and you're trying to stay focused of what this is, what our purpose is. And one of the things that I've been learning a lot is how important it is for me as a leader to step away from everything and get out and just spend time reflecting on what's happening in the business. And as you say, you're a person of faith, and so am I. So I spend time out there, talking to God and just listening. Like today, they actually came and did our carpets today. Usually my reflection time is on Fridays. I usually go out for 2 to 4 hours and just process and write down notes. And I did that today. But is that something that you found was important to do as a leader, is find time just kind of get away and try to wrap your mind? Or how do you lead a team too? And sometimes maybe they want you to have all the answers, but you just don't sometimes.
Part of that goes into your business structure of, I make a really good second. Like, I know how I work best, and you can give me the most elaborate idea, and I've got a bunch of weird skill sets I can make that happen. But the people who sit in a room and dream for 3 hours, I'm like, nah, you got 20 minutes, then I need you to pick one, because my mind's already going in how to make that happen. So it'll wear me down. So I think knowing what your seat on the bus is, of like, I do think, like, if you're the business owner and you're in charge of that big picture, you need to have that space that you're like, okay, this is the big picture, because you get in the daily weeds and that kind of thing. And I don't think people are looking for every answer and every step. And I think even like when COVID hit, no one knows how this is going to go. And especially when we were working at a coffee shop, like restaurants were shutting down. The city was saying you had to shut down. I don't know if we've got jobs tomorrow, because I don't know that the city wasn't going to come tell us we don't have jobs. And so there's things where it's like, I don't think their expectation is that I have every answer and I know the future. But you want to know that the person driving the ship isn't tossed with every wave, that they at least are stable at driving. And so just being able to communicate of, hey, these are the things that might come up that might toss us, and I'll let you know. And this is our plan. And if that goal point moves, great. But like, they're looking for that clear, concise communication. And I do think it's that balance of, I would try not to communicate things that were too far off, because their brain wasn't going at the locations we might open in 5 years. Like, they might not be here at 5 years. Like, they're not thinking that far ahead. So even if I had a location and I'm already signing papers on it, I might say, I might tell them what's coming up this year or 3 months from now, because it's almost like if you see a trailer right now and it's like the movie comes out in a year and a half, you're like, I don't care. Let me see this trailer when it's out in 2 weeks. And so it is sort of that balance of clear, concise communication, but also don't overload them with like everything that a business owner has to know. You have to do projections of, if you drop a bunch of clients, what's your plan? If you, like, there's things that you need to know as a business owner and business strategy that isn't for an employee to have to carry. I think leadership is such a hard word, because everybody thinks it's positional. And it's to me, and I feel like there's so many books and things that are like leadership, and it's so much about that intensity of like, hey, I did this workshop, now you're a leader. And you're like, no, it's almost like a relationship of the one person that wishes you happy birthday once a year, but you're like, we're not friends. Like, you wished me happy birthday. That didn't fill in the rest of the year that we didn't talk. And sometimes I feel like the leadership stuff is talked about in that way of like this intense, hey, I came in and I did a workshop and I told everybody what to do. And you're like, yeah, but did you care about them? Do you know what they do on a daily basis? Like, to me, leadership, I'd rather say it's like, hey, how much do you care and serve the people around you versus, and that's done at every level. Like, you can be the bottom of most entry level. How do you serve? Because the thing is when you genuinely care about people, people will follow you. And I think even the more that life has got more crazy and so many things are fluid, and when people find someone who's solid and consistent, it's a rarity and they'll follow it and they trust it. And so it doesn't matter your position in that. But, and I think there's a difference between like going through and go how to be a good business owner, how to be a good manager. But I think no matter your position, you can be a good leader. You can lead those around you. You can care for those around you.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I it was something I wrote down today in my business journal was, it was something that we talk about as a team is we always try to consult, or if we're going to share an opinion, like we do it from a place of experience. Like if we haven't experienced it, I encourage our team, don't give advice on something that we haven't experienced for ourselves. Find someone else that's experienced it. And that's the person, like, cause I mean, like you said, there's a lot of people that I'm a leader now and, you know, they read a book, but they really haven't experienced anything. There's a lot more opinion leaders than there are leaders coming from experience.
I think if you show people that you have their best interest at heart. When I was in college, I worked as an advertising manager for a newspaper and I had great sales. And part of it is because I didn't try to go sell ads. I would try to figure out how to market their business. And so I would go to the ice cream place that was a few blocks away from our campus and tell them like, hey, we have, you know, school is starting. And so we have all these new freshmen. Why don't we have you put in a coupon in our newspaper for buy one, get one free? So that way people get used to having groups come into your business. You know, like these habits are set with these new freshmen coming in. And so when they know, oh, you are putting my best interest at heart.
I actually saw a quote on LinkedIn today that actually is going along with what you're talking about. And it said that leadership is not transactional, it's relational. And I thought that was so good because the whole post was about this woman was talking about how she had a one-on-one with her boss. But she's like, I just moved into a new house. We talked about my new house and all of that. So she's like, not every meeting has to be, you know, about work. It just showed that like she actually cared. And so I thought that was really good. Especially myself coming from some horrendous bosses. But yeah, so.
One of the things that I want to encourage everybody here as we talk about leadership and wondering if you are a leader or if you can be a leader. Like, I think it's, again, it's important to realize that we're all leading someone. There was a time in my life where I was trying to process what God wanted me to do with this group of men that I was leading. And I was really struggling with it because I'm like, I don't feel good enough to do this. I don't feel good enough. And I was just spending time processing and just listening to God. And the scripture came to me from Matthew where it was about the story about Jesus getting in the boat and about Peter walking on water. Are you guys familiar with the story of hearing about the guy that walked on the water that came out of the boat? Well, when I was reading that story, I'm like, okay, that's cool, but not a lot of people want to jump out and walk on water. Like, that's something we always focus on. And I'm like, what are you trying to show me here? And what God showed me, and this is the reason why we have this little sailboat up here, is because what God was showing me during that time was, I don't need you to go walk on the water. Sometimes I just need somebody to be the boat. Take people where you've been. Katie, if you don't mind, before we wrap up, is there a thought that you would want to leave us with? Like, is there something that if we took anything away from our discussion today, what would it be that you would hope we would take away?
I think it's just genuinely care about the people around you. When you ask, how are you? Stop and listen. It's consistently caring about the people that God has put in your life that you'll end up leading. Just love the people around you and it'll be amazing how many times the stuff you've gone through can be used for their life. And those are the people you can lead.
Awesome.
Hey everyone, I want to take a second and invite you to join us live in the metaverse. You can join us live at the Killer Bee Studios. All you need is your very own VR headset. You can order an Oculus headset using the affiliate link in our show notes. Not only does it help support what we're doing here at Killer Bee, but Meta will also hook you up with some cool reward points. So be sure to check out the link in our show notes, and we hope to see you at our virtual studio.